The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 21st, through Sunday, August 27th, 2023. The commentary for the month of August was written by Alan W. Farabee, an Episcopal priest, retired cathedral dean, husband, father, and grandfather, who lives in Wesley Chapel, Florida. The commentary for Monday, August 21st, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 23, verse 11a. That night the Lord stood near them and said, "Keep up your courage." In front of a council of elders, Paul says he is on trial concerning the resurrection of the dead. At his words, the people lash out at each other and the debate turns violent. The tribune brings Paul to the barracks for his safety. I can relate to Paul at this moment. When I was shepherding a parish through an interim time, COVID-19 struck, protests roiled over George Floyd's death, and political brawling ran amok. I stood in the middle, but anything I said incited rebuke from one side or the other. That parish had not prayed for presidents and governors by name. I suggested we do so. Some threatened to leave the parish if we prayed for that man. Others said that they would leave if we did not pray for that man. My life was not in danger, but I felt besieged. I welcomed God's strengthening word, "Keep up your courage." It is the reassurance Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. received. After his house was bombed, in the quiet of his kitchen, he heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Martin, I am with you. Do not be afraid." And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the book of Acts. It's chapter 22, verse 30, through chapter 23, verse 11. Since he wanted to find out what Paul was being accused of by the Jews, the next day he released him and ordered the chief priests and the entire council to meet. He brought Paul down and had him stand before them. While Paul was looking intently at the council, he said, "Brothers, up to this day I have lived my life with a clear conscience before God." Then the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near him to strike him on the mouth. At this Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. Are you sitting there to judge me according to the law, and yet in violation of the law you order me to be struck?" Those standing nearby said, "Do you dare to insult God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I did not realize, brothers, that he was high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a leader of your people.'" When Paul noticed that some were Sadducees and others were Pharisees, he called out in the council, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial concerning the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dissension began between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection or angel or spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge all three. Then a great clamor arose, and certain scribes of the Pharisees' group stood up and contended, "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" When the dissension became violent, the tribune, fearing that they would tear Paul to pieces, ordered the soldiers to go down, take him by force, and bring him into the barracks. That night the Lord stood near him and said, "Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome." And the moving forward statement for this Monday, August 21st, is, "Hear God's words and keep up your courage." Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, August 22nd. It begins with a passage from Mark 12, verse 10. "Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Here's the commentary. "In the early years of my ministry, my family and I lived in Alton, Illinois, across the Mississippi River from St. Louis. Next to our house lived an artist, Arthur Tawata, a Japanese-American. Art was sent as a child to an internment camp during World War II. He later became an artist, a potter. Behind his house stood his kiln, where he fired his pottery pieces. One day as I wandered through the woods behind our houses and saw broken shards of beautiful pottery pieces Art had thrown away, I thought, how wasteful. Then I went to his studio and saw the pieces he kept. I wondered how often Art had languished in the internment camp, wondering if he would ever make the art in his soul. And I realized that waste is not always waste. I now understand the acclamation from Psalm 118 that the rejected stone can become the cornerstone of new creation. It is not always the first effort, the first piece, the first stone, or the first vase or bowl that wins the day. Trust God to turn waste into glory." And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this day from Mark 11:27 to chapter 12, verse 12. "Again they came to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them?' Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me.' They argued with one another, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But shall we say of human origin?' They were afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as truly a prophet. So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And Jesus said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things.' Then he began to speak to them in parables. 'A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat, others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But those tenants said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours.' So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' When they realized that he had told this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, so they left him and went away." And the moving forward question for this day is, what broken pieces is God using in your life? The commentary for Wednesday, August 23rd, begins with a passage from 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 18, verse 33b. And as he went, he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? O Absalom, my son, my son. Old King David, past his prime, challenged by his son, having to rally his troops one more time, can only think of one thing to ask when the messenger arrives. Is it well with the young man, Absalom? And as we watch the Greek tragedy of 2 Samuel unravel, we know it is not well with the young man. He is caught by his hair in the branches of a tree and killed while hanging there. The king's rule is safe, but his heart is ravaged. We have seen the lust in David's heart. Now we hear the breaking of his heart. Up to his chamber he sorrowfully climbs, aching with longing for his son to be with him. To lose your child is an unmatched pain. It makes you wonder how God's heart broke when his son was lost. There are moments in the Bible story and our life journeys when we must stay there, feeling the pain, wishing it weren't so, but knowing that grief cannot be hurried. And now I'm going to read from this full passage from the Old Testament, the second book of Samuel, chapter 18, verses 19 through 33. Then Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said, Let me run and carry tidings to the king that the Lord has delivered him from the power of his enemies. Joab said to him, You are not to carry tidings today. You may carry tidings another day, but today you shall not do so, because the king's son is dead. Then Joab said to a Cushite, Go tell the king what you have seen. The Cushite bowed before Joab and ran. Then Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said again to Joab, Come what may, let me also run after the Cushite. And Joab said, Why will you run, my son, seeing that you have no reward for the tidings? Come what may, he said, I will run. So he said to him, Run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the two gates. The sentinel went up to the roof of the gate by the wall, and when he looked up, he saw a man running alone. The sentinel shouted and told the king. The king said, If he is alone, there are tidings in his mouth. He kept coming and drew near. Then the sentinel saw another man running, and the sentinel called to the gatekeeper and said, See, another man running alone. The king said, He also is bringing tidings. The sentinel said, I think the running of the first one is like the running of Ahimaaz, son of Zadok. The king said, He is a good man and comes with good tidings. Then Ahimaaz cried out to the king, All is well. He prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground and said, Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raise their hand against my lord the king. The king said, Is it well with the young man, Absalom? Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I do not know what it was. The king said, Turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside and stood still. Then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, Good tidings for my lord the king, for the Lord has vindicated you this day, delivering you from the power of all who rose up against you. The king said to the Cushite, Is it well with the young man Absalom? The Cushite answered, May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to do you harm be like that young man. The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son. The moving forward question for today, where is your heart breaking? Trust that this may be a place where God can enter. Now we'll turn to the commentary for Thursday, August 24th. It is the feast day of Saint Bartholomew the Apostle. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 26. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. When I was a child and we took long family trips in the car, my siblings and I always argued. There were five of us. We argued about who had to sit in the middle, who got the pillow, and whose milkshake spilled at lunch. Everything was up for grabs. We really were arguing over who was most important. So I recognized the dispute among Jesus' followers about greatness. When I first graduated from seminary, the bishop assigned me to a struggling small parish in Dade County, Florida, far from the glamour and excitement of Yale Divinity School. I wanted to be somebody, to do great things, and I quickly proceeded to alienate people by trying too hard. But thanks be to God, across the street from our house lived a lovely widow with a teenage son. She embraced my wife and me, so new to ministry. She assured us we were not terrible parents or preachers, and that all would be well. When I grew up enough to hear the gospel, I realized that an ambitious pastor had been loved by a great pastor. Service is greatness. Bartholomew surely learned that. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 through 30. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the moving forward question for this day, can you find greatness in serving? The commentary for Friday, August 25th, begins with a passage from Psalm 140, verse 10. "Let hot burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the mire, never to rise up again." You must admit that sometimes you have wished burning coals to fall upon them. Come on, admit it. I certainly have. We can't help it. We get hurt or offended or maligned or mistreated, and the bitter impulses of our souls bubble to the surface, searing our better selves, and we find ourselves wishing for burning coals and mire to be their lot. The Psalms are so appealing, partly because they encompass the full range of human feelings, exalted and dubious. Acknowledge these troubling thoughts, but also remember the words from another of the Psalms we read today, "Teach me to do what pleases you, for you are my God." We can't dwell with burning coals, and we can't settle into the mire. As good as it feels to let our frustration out, remember to reach back to God. God will lead us to a better way. And now I'm going to read from the full Psalm, number 140. Deliver me, O Lord, from evildoers. Protect me from those who are violent, who plan evil things in their minds and stir up wars continually. They make their tongue sharp as a snake's, and under their lips is the venom of vipers. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from the violent, who have planned my downfall. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Along the road they have set snares for me. I say to the Lord, You are my God. Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O Lord, my God, my strong deliverer, You have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot. Those who surround me lift up their heads. Let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall on them. Let them be flung into pits, no more to rise. Do not let the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil speedily hunt down the violent. I know that the Lord maintains the cause of the needy and executes justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall live in your presence. And the moving forward question for this Friday, what can you do to dampen the burning coals and give thanks to God? The category for Saturday, August 26th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 8c. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Jesus describes the transformation of the world as birth pangs. I have never experienced birth pangs. My wife has. Many women have. I donated a kidney to my sister many years ago, and people told me that was the closest I would come to giving birth. But still, no birth pangs. I did ask my wife after a suitable interval following the birth of our first son, what was it like? In those days, 53 years ago, fathers were not allowed in the birthing room. She said the pain was intense, growing until it seemed nothing worse could follow. Then she said, when our son was in her arms, the pain was gone. It's hard for me to imagine the impending peril, struggle, pain, and fear facing Jesus and the disciples. It seems to me that women who have given birth have a unique insight into Jesus' description. Yet we know that despite the pain, birth pangs are the beginning of a new life. And now I'm going to read from the full scripture reading for today, Mark 13, verses 1 through 13. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings! Then Jesus asked him, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished? Then Jesus began to say to them, Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, when the birth pangs come upon us, can we believe that hope is about to be born? And as we near the end of the program for this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, August 27th, the 13th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. My father always relied on people knowing him. He chose car repair shops and other service centers because they knew his father or he had a relationship with them. In the play Death of a Salesman, the protagonist, Willie Loman, begins to crumble when he realizes the store managers where he used to sell shoes don't know him anymore. The Hebrews are in a terrifying but relatable situation. When a new king arises who doesn't know Joseph or the story of how he saved Egypt from famine, the new king enslaves the Hebrews and orders all Hebrew boys to be killed. But God is not mocked by the new king. God saves one small boy, Moses, setting him floating among the reeds to be found by his sister, nursed by his mother, placed in the house of the king to grow to manhood, and ultimately to lead his people to freedom. We know the fear of a new king. We know it in our politics, and we know it in the church. Trust God to provide, even when a new king arises who does not know us. And the moving forward question for this day, is there a situation in your life where you feel unknown? Can you trust that God knows you? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.